Alleluia, Christ is risen.
The Lord is risen indeed. Alleluia.
Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hid. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Christ our Lord. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, who in the Paschal mystery established a new covenant of reconciliation, grant that all who have been reborn in the fellowship of Christ's body may show forth in their lives what they profess in their faith. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen.
A reading from the Acts of the Apostles. When the temple police had brought the apostles, they had them stand before the council. The high priest questioned them, saying, "We gave you strict orders not to teach in this name, yet here you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching, and you are determined to bring this man's blood on us." But Peter and the apostles answered, "We must obey God rather than any human authority. The God of our ancestors raised up Jesus, whom you had killed by hanging him on a tree. God exalted him at his right hand as leader and savior, that he might give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are witnesses to these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Revelation to John. John to the seven churches that are in Asia. Grace to you and peace from him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth. To him who loves us and freed us from our sins by his blood and made us to be a kingdom, priests serving his God and Father, To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Look, he is coming with the clouds. Every eye will see him, even those who pierced him. And on his account, all the tribes of the earth will wail. So it is to be. Amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Although the doors were shut, In the name of the Father, and the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. John Irving, in his novel, A Prayer for Owen Meany, has the narrator, a man named John, in a discussion with his friend Owen, and they are talking about the meaning of belief. They are looking at a granite statue of Mary Magdalene as the twilight falls. And when it is so dark that you can no longer see the statue, Owen asks John, he says, "Is the statue still there?" And John responds, "Of course it's still there." Now you need to understand that Owen Meany is a strange guy. And all of the words that he speaks are in capital letters because he has an unusual squeaky voice. So you'll have to pardon me as I try to imitate Owen. "You have no doubt that she's there?" "Of course I have no doubt." "You can't see her. You could be wrong." "No, I'm not wrong. She's there and I know it." "You're absolutely sure that she's there? You think you could be mistaken and that she isn't there?" "I am absolutely sure that she is there." "Well," Meany goes on, "now you know how I feel about God. I can't see him, but I am absolutely certain that he is there." Now that's the kind of faith that Jesus is looking for. He says to Thomas, "Have you believed because you have seen? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believed." Now in John chapter 20, practically everyone has seen the risen Christ. Mary Magdalene does. The disciples do. So why is everybody so hard on Thomas? Why do we call him by an outrageous title, the Doubting Thomas? The disciples address Thomas with the very words that Mary Magdalene addressed to them. And when Mary Magdalene explained that Jesus was not in the tomb, there was no response on the part of the disciples. It was not until Jesus appeared and they saw his hands and his feet that they rejoiced. And rejoice is another word for saying it's Easter. Now that announcement to Thomas, was, he just didn't believe it. He said, "I am not going to believe in the impossible." And he is very much like the rest of the disciples. Thomas was acting no different than any of them, and perhaps no differently than many in our own world today would think. But Jesus, after meeting the disciples initially, comes back 1 week later. That's today. That's why I sort of think of the second Sunday of Easter as being even more important than Easter, because we live in the results, not just in the startling fact of the resurrection. And so when Jesus appears a second time, he mirrors his entrance. He mirrors the word, "Peace be with you." It's all the same except for one thing. John does not say that the disciples fear the Jews. They don't fear them anymore. Everything is the same. Nothing has changed except one thing. Jesus breathed on them, said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." And he said, "Peace be upon you." And though nothing has changed, and the circumstances are just as frightening, they are not frightened because of the presence of the Holy Spirit. And Jesus offers to Thomas what Thomas demands. Jesus did not upbraid Thomas, did not upbraid him. Jesus loved Thomas, and he does not want Thomas to be unbelieving, but believing. And believe me, Thomas will believe. Now, we always hear about the doubting Thomas, and I just would like to dispel that. I'd like you to never say that again, if possible, although we live in a culture in which you're going to be encouraged to do so. The word doubt appears in the New Revised Standard Version, which we read. The word doubt appears in the New International Version, if you want to check it out. But the word doubt does not occur in the Greek. It's talking in a different genre about believing and unbelieving, not about doubt. It's the Revised Standard Version that has it right. Be not believing, unbelieving, be not unbelieving, but believing. And you say, well, how? How so? What in the world is John talking about? Where Jesus' appearance is seen as a miracle and not as a sign, the revelatory power of the resurrection is lost. A sign points beyond itself to something else. John never talks about miracles or power deeds, as the Greek has it. He never used that word. When he feeds people, it's a sign. When he changes water into wine, it's a sign. And a sign, as I said, always points to something other than itself. Do you remember when Jesus fed the 5,000? And everybody was captivated with the idea that here is a guy that can make bread and we'll have bread on our table from now on. Let's make him our bread king. And Jesus said to them, the problem you people are having is that you're focusing on the miracle and you are not getting the sign. For the sign is this: I am the bread of life. Whoever believes in me, though that person die, yet she will live. If anyone believes in me, eats and drinks of the blood I give, that person will never die, is already embraced by the power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And so Thomas, so the people of God, you the people of God, are able to see through the physical miracle and see the sign. And the sign is something that is very, very clear in Thomas. And rather than being a doubting Thomas, you know, he called a twin. This is my scenario. You could imagine him being a twin, being confused with his twin. And so Thomas is doing us a great service of saying, hey, wait a minute, let me check it. I know about these kinds of things. And he comes out of it and says, yep, that's Jesus. But he looks through the physical miracle to the sign. And then Thomas makes the greatest confession of any disciple in the scripture. He stands before Jesus and he says, my Lord and my God. And it's not the miracle. It's not the miracle of the resurrection that is important in the resurrection of Jesus, though that's vital. Paul says if he's not raised, then it's all empty. But what is vital is the relationship you have not with an event, but the relationship you have with a person. And you are the sister of Jesus Christ, the brother of Jesus Christ. And yours is eternal life because you're in the right family by God's grace. my Lord and my God. The resurrection appearance to Thomas points to God in Jesus. Jesus is not merely risen, but it is the Son of God who is risen. And it is the realization of who it is who died for us, the Almighty God who died for us, that brings us into a faith that will not fail us, because we are trusting in the person of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and you can trust him with your life. And what's vitally important in this story that we have is the conclusion. The purpose of the gospel. What is the purpose of the gospel? It's clear. Memorize it. Take your prayer, take your bulletin home and memorize it. That you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of God, and that believing in him, you may have life in his name. And I'm not talking about, and John is not talking about that wonderful life that we're going to have in the golden streets. He's not talking about that. You can have life in his name now, today. To live as a person, a heir of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. In a world in which we ought to sort of say, well, I better keep my faith to myself. Come behind the walls of the church and feel safe and really sing out. But then by the power of the Holy Spirit, what did the disciples do? They were no longer afraid and they went out into what for them was a very hostile world. And we are going out into a world that may not be hostile, but it may be quite indifferent. Let me tell you two stories. Two stories of ordinary people. And when I get done, you're going to say, oh, I could never be like... What? You could never be like that? Is God that limited that you could never be like the saints of the church? All that power, the Holy Spirit, is there for you and for your mission. Well, let me tell you these two stories. I had a member, a good friend, in a parish that I had in Atlanta. He was a home Eucharistic minister. And there was buzz in the congregation also, a man who had gone through a horrific automobile accident and was a paraplegic. Buzz's wife was Irene. Irene was a confirmed atheist, quiet, very, very smart. I wouldn't try to convince her anything about God. She was an atheist. And Mike visited Buzz. Get this. Every Sunday for 5 years. Every Sunday for 5 years. That's what we're capable of. We who are given the Spirit of Jesus Christ, who went all the way to the cross, that we might have life. Well, Buzz died, and Mike, being Mike, invited Irene to come to church. And to our surprise, there was Irene. What are we going to do with her? And some brave soul in our church invited her to come to our Alpha program. Now, this is no Mickey Mouse program. It's 10 weeks every Sunday night, and Irene came. She came to the first Alpha, her first Alpha, did not say one word. She came to the second Alpha, and she did not say one word. But what happened in time is that Irene became the head of our Alpha program. She was the head when I left, the head of the program of the Episcopal Church of St. Peter and St. Paul in Atlanta for Alpha. And there was a woman who worked in a really dynamic firm in Atlanta. And the way I would look at her, it would say that she was a person with a Jesus-grounded faith. A Jesus-grounded faith. You're familiar with that, right? A Jesus-grounded faith. That's what your baptism is about. And she did not go around asking people, have you found Jesus yet? Or whatever the saying is. She was not pushy. But her fellow workers sensed that there was something deeper in Anne than met the eye. Well, one day she said a young woman came and asked her, Anne, could I speak with you? I'm alone in this city, far from home, and I'm single, and I'm pregnant. Will you talk to me? Now, Anne didn't fix anything. Maybe she did. But she was a consoling presence for the young woman all the way through her delivery. I think this young woman sensed in Anne that there's more to this person than someone with whom I can confide. I can meet compassion and love. She might not have put it that way, but that is exactly what she found. So I'm going to step out on a limb today and tell you that indeed you do see the resurrection bodily. It is not strange to realize that you see the bodily resurrection every day. And if I will open my eyes to get past the outside, past the miracle of your faith, and go on to the sign, I would say you are a sign of the bodily resurrection of a human being because of Jesus Christ. In our baptism, Jesus breathes on you and says, "Receive the Holy Spirit." I send you forth as the Father sent me forth. Let your light so shine before others that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. And St. Paul asked the question, who is sufficient for these things? Am I an Anne or am I a Mike? Well, ask the Holy Spirit if that's your destiny, and then watch out. You will go out from behind the closed doors to face the world in need. You've been baptized. And Paul picks up on this, and St. Paul says, we have been buried with him. That means we say no to certain things very definitely and clearly. They're wrong. We don't do those. It's dead. It's gone. We've been reborn. As Paul says, we have been buried with him by baptism into death, so that, and get this now, it's tricky, so that as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, so we too may walk in newness of life today. The resurrection, we're way past that. I know it was last Sunday, but it was 2,000 years ago. But it is time for us to live as heirs. Is heirs of the resurrection in people on a mission for Jesus. Amen.
Let us stand and reaffirm our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light,
true God from true God, begotten not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation,
he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son, he is worshipped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Almighty God, we give you thanks for the resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ. We thank you for showing us the path to eternal life. Risen Christ,
hear our prayer.
We ask your blessing on all who have died, that they may know the joy of the resurrection life. We especially remember Tom Filiacci. I also invite you to name those who have died. Risen Christ, we pray for all who are ill, lonely, or suffering in any way. May they find the peace that passes all understanding. I invite you to speak the names of those in need aloud. Risen Christ,
hear our prayer.
We pray for all victims of violence, especially the victims of violence in our own community, that they and their families may find peace and strength. Risen Christ,
hear our prayer.
We pray for those who serve in the military, for their family and friends, that they may be held in the palm of your hand. Risen Christ,
hear our prayer.
We pray for peace throughout the world, that there may be understanding among races and peoples. Risen Christ,
hear our prayer.
We pray for the good use of our natural resources, that we may be led to nurture and maintain this planet. Risen Christ,
hear our prayer.
We pray for the city of Jacksonville. Help us to care for this city. Bless our government and our schools. Help us to serve you here in the heart of downtown. Risen Christ,
hear our prayer.
We pray for this cathedral and for all those who walk through these doors, that we may be led to glorify you in all things. We give thanks for all the blessings of this life. I invite you to name your blessings aloud.
Lord Jesus Christ, you said to your apostles, "Peace I give to you, my own peace I leave with you. Regard not our sins, but the faith of your church, and give to us the peace and unity of that heavenly city where with the Father and the Holy Spirit you live and reign now and forever. Amen. Amen. The peace of the Lord be always with you.
And
Good morning and welcome to you. If you are new, please find the small card in the pew and fill that out and make yourself known to us, and we will make ourselves known to you. Kate is in Scotland attending a conference of a select number of deans, and they are on the island of Iona for this week. She will be back next week. The Institute for Christian Studies presents a workshop and lecture next week, next Saturday, April 13th, with Father John W. Price, who is the author of a new book called Revealing Heaven, the Christian Case for Near-Death Experiences. There are registration instructions inside your bulletin, so please register for that. It's an all-day event. Wednesday night classes resume this Wednesday. Christian formation, the information is in the narthex to the rear of the church. If you are interested in taking those classes, we will continue with Basic A and Basic B with Kate leading the way. For information and reservation forms on the parish retreat, they are also available in the narthex. And you can sign up in Tolliver Hall today. The registration for the retreat is fast approaching. It actually is the weekend of the 26th, 27th, and 28th at Camp Weed. If you have not attended that in the past, please try to do so. It's a wonderful time of fellowship and lots of fun and adventure at Camp Weed for those of you who love rustic. I get to stay here. I'd like to ask you to please join us in celebrating the 93rd birthday of Dot West at Coffee Hour. Dot, please stand up. We'll have a chance to sing her happy birthday at the reception. Please join us there. Ascribe unto the Lord gifts and honor due his name.
Thank you.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is truly right to glorify you, Father, and to give you thanks, for you alone are God, living and true, dwelling in light inaccessible from before time and for forever. Fountain of life and source of all goodness, you made all things and filled them with your blessing. You created them to rejoice in the splendor of your radiance. Countless throngs of angels stand before you to serve you night and day, and beholding the glory of your presence, they offer you unceasing praise. Joining with them and giving voice to every creature under heaven, we acclaim you and glorify your name as we sing. Gracious, glorious in power, your mighty works reveal your wisdom and love. You formed us in your own image, giving the whole world into our care, so that in obedience to you, our Creator, we might rule and serve all your creatures. When our disobedience took us far from you, you did not abandon us to the power of death. In your mercy, you came to our help, so that in seeking you, we might find you. Again and again, you called us into covenant with you, and through the prophets, you taught us to hope for salvation. Father, you loved the world so much that in the fullness of time, you sent your only Son to be our Savior. Incarnate by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, he lived as one of us, yet without sin. To the poor, he proclaimed the good news of salvation, the prisoners freedom, to the sorrowful joy. To fulfill your purpose, he gave himself up to death, and rising from the grave, destroyed death and made the whole creation new. And that we might live no longer for ourselves, but for him who died and rose for us, he sent the Holy Spirit, his first gift to those who believe, to complete his work in the world and to bring to fulfillment the sanctification of all. When the hour had come for him to be glorified by you, his heavenly Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. At supper with them, he took bread, and when he had given thanks to you, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." After supper, he took a cup of wine, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me." Father, we now celebrate this memorial of our redemption, recalling Christ's death and his descent among the dead, proclaiming his resurrection and ascension to your right hand awaiting his coming in glory, and offering to you from the gifts that you have given us, this bread and this cup, we praise you and we bless you. Lord, we pray that in your goodness and mercy, your Holy Spirit may descend upon us and upon these gifts, sanctifying them and showing them to be the holy gifts of your holy people, the bread of life and the cup of salvation, the body and blood of your Son, Jesus Christ. Grant that all who share this bread and cup may become one body and one spirit, a living sacrifice in Christ, to the praise of your name. Remember, Lord, your holy, one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church, redeemed by the blood of your Christ. Reveal its unity, guard its faith, and preserve it in peace. Remember all who have died in the presence of Christ and those whose faith is known to you alone. Bring them into the place of eternal joy and light. And grant that we may find our inheritance with the Blessed Virgin Mary, with patriarchs, prophets, apostles, and martyrs, with St. John and all the saints who have found favor with you in ages past. We praise you in union with them and give you glory through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Through Christ and with Christ and in Christ, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty God and Father, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, forever and ever. Amen. And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The gifts of God for the people of God. Take them in remembrance that Christ died for you and feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving. Please join me in sending forth our Eucharistic visitors. In the name of St. John's Cathedral, I send you forth bearing these holy gifts, that those to whom you go may share with us in the communion of Christ's body and blood. We who are many are one body, because we all share one bread. Thank you. Let us pray. Almighty and ever-living God, we thank you for feeding us with the spiritual food of the most precious body and blood of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, and for assuring us in these holy mysteries that we are living members of the body of your Son and heirs of your eternal kingdom. And now, Father, send us out to do the work you have given us to do, to love and serve you as faithful witnesses in Christ our Lord. To him, to you, and to the Holy Spirit, be honor and glory, now and forever. Amen. God be your comfort and strength. God be your hope and support. God be your light and your way. And the blessing of God, the Creator, Redeemer, and Giver of life, remain with you now and forever. Amen.